Aviation Quest is C101, wind 270 degrees, 10 knots, runway 27 left, cleared for takeoff.
Aviation Quest CC101, cleared for takeoff, 27 left. V1, rotate. Positive climb.
Aviation Quest CC. Stories from above. The views shared in this podcast are personal and for informational purposes only. They do not reflect any employer or aviation authority, and nothing discussed here should be considered flight training or regulatory guidance. Please always refer to official sources. This episode may also contain product placements. For further information, visit our website aviation-quest.ca.
Hello and welcome to the Aviation Quest CC podcast. My name is Stefan Lawrence. I am one of your hosts. But of course, as always, I am not alone. With me here in the virtual studio, we're always in different countries, it seems. Jürgen, how are you today?
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Also, I mean, we record this intro about 6 weeks after the main part was recorded. So it's already toward the end of May. And now also paradise season, I call it from now on, here in Austria started. Now, mid-morning, I jumped in it's quite fresh. I call it this way, not cold, but fresh river, crystal clear water outside the house. Yeah. It's also, you know, not only on a Mediterranean island, it can be paradise. It's really, yeah, summer, summer. But also today's guest leads us to a country, I think, well known and famous for summer vibes, may it be on the Mediterranean Sea or on the beautiful lake, Stefan, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
But we should stick, before we forget, to the official Aviation Quest CC podcast checklist. Do you agree? Because the memory item number one, we forgot this one time and we will not do it again, is the YouTube channel. Thanks to your YouTube work, we are an audio podcast, but we have a YouTube channel. It's Aviation-Quest Podcast. And also there, I think today is a special real world flight for a special guest by FS Clips creator and certainly real world Airbus pilot Stefan.
Yes, as always, you can watch something if you're on YouTube, so it's not too boring. Today we are hopping on an Aegean Airbus A320 and we are flying from Thessaloniki to Munich, which is a flight I've done in the real world. And Thessaloniki, very nice approach. But today we're just taking off from there and flying to good old Munich.
Good old Munich. Sounds also, yeah, great. I mean, summer, wherever you are, is, I think, always a good time to be. And I'm quite sure, as I said, also today's guest from a summer destination. Yeah, should I, so to say, introduce the guest, Stefan, if you allow?
Yeah, absolutely. You go ahead. You obviously spoke to him personally. Whilst I was just listening to the interview afterwards, and you spent some time with him off mic, so to speak. So I think it's much better if you introduce him.
I mean, it was a real pleasure and honor to welcome Captain Guido Mezzara to our really young podcast here. And he is an experienced long-haul pilot and type rating instructor with a career spanning airline operations, advanced flight instruction, and pilot evaluation. Stefan, I think also from your professional point of view, this is correct.
Yes, absolutely. Really good interview, as always, Jürgen. Congratulations. I really enjoyed listening to it afterwards. I think this interview is going to be interesting for everyone who's interested in the airline industry as such. If you're new, if you're thinking of entering it, there'll be a lot in the interview, a lot of tips on how to behave in the cockpit, what is... seen as professional, what is not seen as professional. But even for experienced pilots, you go into a bit more detail on how pilots are evaluated. And again, the negative, or not, let's not call it the negative sides, but let's call it the things he has seen throughout his career, where he thinks some pilots definitely need to improve on. So I think it was very good insight into the profession. And yeah, as always, really, really good interview, Jürgen.
Thank you. Yeah, and I mean, speaking of interview guests, if you or somebody of your network, dear listeners, think I'll be a fit or they'll be a fit for an Aviation Quest CC podcast, please write us. I just received another message. I just clicked away here from LinkedIn. Yeah, LinkedIn is really the Aviation Quest CC, so to say, inbox for all kinds of, also thank you for the thumbs up and everything. It is my personal account, so under my real name, Jürgen Weiss, and you will also find a direct link in the teaser. At the end of the teaser, there are the direct links, and there is also a direct link of Stefan's FS Clips Discord server with a own category for the podcast. And also there is certainly the opportunity to leave us a comment or, yeah, invite yourself or invite a friend of yours without knowing, letting them know. for being guests or guest on a podcast. But it's really, I mean, to get on our podcast is straightforward. We arrange a time that suits your schedule. We set it up, usually here via easy online connection or also via telephone. I'm quite flexible. And then we will do the interview. And as I said, if you are in aviation, you should be on our podcast, period.
Exactly. We want to hear from anyone and everyone who has a story to tell. Of course, like we said at the beginning, it extends to flight, the world of flight simulation as well. Jürgen and I are big fans of flight simulators. So even if you're from that part of the industry, we definitely want to hear from you.
And I am still absolutely, yeah, flight simulation is aviation. What else is it? Flight simulation is not computer gaming, it's aviation. It's serious aviation. And your channel, FS Clips, is the proof that it's not a computer game.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's come a long way. Like we discussed in some episodes further along, way past how we started and where we are today. So yeah, flight simming is a pretty amazing hobby today. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think without further ado, to so to say steal some of your typical words from FS Clips, Stefan, I think we should get to the main part. Many listeners will already waiting for it with Captain Guido Mezzara.
Yes, so we'll start the interview now, and Jürgen and I will be back afterwards with some more thoughts and some more housekeeping, so to speak. Okay, without further ado, we'll let you hear to the main part now, so enjoy the interview.
Guido Mezzara, it's a privilege to have you with us, sir, and yeah, thanks for joining the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Jürgen. It's my privilege, and thank you for inviting me. Thank you and Stefan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, let's jump right into the interview, Guido, if you allow. How does your current professional setup look today? I mean, today we record this by April the 9th, 2026. So how does a typical week or month look like for you today?
Well, Jürgen, my typical, I'll talk about my month, because basically what I do is I work 17 days during a month, consecutive 17 days, and then I'm off for consecutive 13 days. So that is my standard month. And within these 17 days that I'm employed, nowadays I do about 6-7 days in the simulator. instructing, and the rest flying around the world.
So you switch between your flying, so to say, profession and certainly the DRI and DRE role.
Correct. I'm currently working as TRI and line training captain, so I train on the line as well. And in the simulator, I'm a TRI. However, as I mentioned to you before, we are working with this new EBT framework, which basically allows the TRIs to sign off the licenses of the doing a recurrent training for personnel, for flight personnel. So doing the standard setup of recurrent training, TREs would only be allowed to sign the licenses, but now within this new EBT framework, TRIs are also allowed to sign the licenses.
Yeah, I mean, the listeners obviously don't know about this, but we had an extended conversation last afternoon. It was super interesting, Guido. Thank you for every second. It was really... But yeah, back to the interview. Can you give us a little bit an idea of what changes for you when you move from pilot to instructor or examiner? Also mindset-wise.
Well, mindset-wise, it's a very interesting switch, because obviously as a pilot you have your own way of working, of managing situations, of planning your activity, and your own decision making style. And when you step in the back and have to train and observe other people, obviously you can be, it's very interesting. You can see many different ways of dealing with the same problem or dealing with the same situation or planning the operations. You can learn a lot, and it's just a very interesting experience. And then when you're training people, it's very important, in my opinion, to kind of give them room to maneuver, maneuvering room, so that they can utilize their own techniques and style, and then only give inputs if and when required to as an instructor, when you judge that it can be a valuable input and you can help them improve their own operations. But the switch is interesting, because whenever you are in the front and then you step in the back, it's quite an interesting switch. Sitting in the back and observing from the back, you can see a lot more than when you're sitting in the front. Obviously, operating as an instructor and an examiner, you really learn a lot, and you take this baggage with you when you are then sitting in the front, because you have a kind of a, it helps you gaining a wider view of the operation. And because you have seen so many different scenarios, it really helps you face whatever scenarios do show up during daily operations.
And we were discussing yesterday, so a little bit the similarities between World Cup climbing and aviation world. And I was just thinking about, when I belay, when you belay a climber, you also learn so much for your own. And I think the same, I can guess that it makes you a much better pilot, also being a TRI and TRE. Am I on the right path, Guido, here?
I don't know if it makes you a better pilot, but definitely if you are ready to learn,
you see a lot, you observe a lot.
You observe a lot, and if you are ready to learn, meaning you are available to learn and to intake new knowledge, then it can definitely help you improve yourself and become a more proficient pilot and more experienced. It's definitely an excellent way of learning and improving yourself. But of course, again, you have to be ready to learn, as they say. It's one of the laws of learning, the law of readiness.
To be acceptant to learn new things, or to have a general understanding, that you have to that you are willing to learn. I think this is, yeah, it is the basic of every learning process.
Yes, absolutely.
Guido, allow me a big switch, decade switch to your beginnings. What motivated you to start flying back in the late 1990s?
Well, I grew up very close to a local airport, but it was a special local airport because it's in the north of Italy, and it's the area where they build all the basically Italian airplanes. Most of the Italian airplanes were built there. So I had experimental aircraft, test aircraft flying over my head all the time when I was a little kid, which was aircraft and helicopters, actually. Which was an exceptional inspiration, of course. And my father used to take me sometimes to the air shows and things like that. So obviously, like many kids, you know, I had this kind of inspiration. Then I let it go for a while, but then after high school, I wasn't really motivated to go to university. I didn't want to study something abstract. Mm-hmm. And an instructor from the local flight school came over to our high school and, proposed the training program to become a professional pilot. And I realized that could be very, a very good fit for me because I always liked engines, speed, you know. And I could combine practical training or theory training, let's say, followed by immediate practical training. And that's exactly how it happened. So when I then started flight school, I would be starting in the morning. And in the afternoon, I'd go flying with the flight instructor and apply the knowledge that I learned in the morning with these beautiful machines. I mean, beautiful. They were old, and but to me, they were beautiful. You know, flying was just a dream. So that's how I got into it. And it was a passion straight away. When I started flying, I loved it, and I loved doing it. And then I was head low, studying and working hard until now, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, the listeners would already, they might have already made their calculations when I said the late 1990s. Obviously, you entered the aviation around a very challenging period, to say at least. How did that affect your path? Certainly, I'm speaking of the 9/11 phase.
Yeah, so I started flying in 97. And then I worked as a flight instructor until 2000. And in 9/11, I was joining my second airline. Actually, I was doing my Boeing 737 training, type rating training, when 9/11 happened. The first airline I worked for actually did go bankrupt, but the second airline I joined actually survived 9/11, so I was quite lucky. Okay. Yes, we were a charter operator and not heavily affected by 9/11. So I was quite lucky through that. And then there was a crisis of 2008, 2009. And also there, I was lucky to have joined a company which was healthy and managed to survive the crisis itself. To me, the biggest hurdle was after I left the U.S., where I did my flight training, most of my flight training and my initial work experience as a flight instructor and general aviation pilot, and I came back to Europe. First of all, I did convert my licenses because back then you could still do it privately, actually. And it was a very affordable process. And also you only had to do one main exam. So it was a lot easier, let's say, in a way than it is today. So I came back, but then for a year I was unemployed because it was very difficult to get into the airline world if it was your first approach. So I had to, every week I used to knock on some airlines doors and, you know, introduce myself and say, this is Guido, this is my flight experience. So I was driving around with my mother's car and knocking on a few airlines' doors on a weekly basis until after about a year of doing so, it finally paid off and I was called by a regional airline to attend a selection process. and they did hire me. So that was the let's say the toughest part of achieving my career progression, let's say.
What helped you to stay focused during that time? Because this is certainly for every pilot, it's quite a nerve-wracking phase, isn't it, Guido?
It is, and it will be faced by many pilots. It has been faced by many pilots, and it can be very demotivating.
Yeah.
Because you know you have the experience, you know you have the skills, you know you are young and eager and motivated, and yet you cannot get hired because of various reasons. And it can be very heavy, it can be, you know, demotivating. And it was to me, but I wanted to get it done. I had my objective in front of me, and I kept going until I achieved what I wanted to achieve. It sometimes it will be difficult. Sometimes the timing can be wrong in your career, but you have to keep working hard. Nobody will gift you anything. You have to really work your way through your career. At least, you know, most people's, and sooner or later, you will be encountering some challenging times. But what's important is never to let go and keep insisting, because if you keep working hard and chasing your dream, you will make it.
So I guess this was also your takeaway in hindsight from this, especially from the phases where the industry was struggling, to keep persistent and keep believing in your dream and fight on, so to say.
Absolutely, yes. And I was trying every possible. I didn't have a lot of money, so I was trying every possible way to get a job wherever I could. And I never gave up. I witnessed some people giving up at times. I never gave up because I really want to succeed and to achieve my objective. And you just have to weather it out and try everything you can. Don't just expect things to happen, because they will not. To most of us, you have to work hard and keep your focus clear, and then things will happen. But it might take a month, it might take 6 months, it might take a year, but things will happen, as long as you keep working at it and studying hard and working hard, of course. I was fortunate enough to have a career that was built step by step. So I started on very small airplanes, flight instructor, general aviation. Then I went to a small regional airline on turboprop airplanes. Then I went to a charter airline, national charter airline, on Boeing 737s. So it was made of many, many various steps. And while it was hard work and the career was progression was slower compared to, especially nowadays, where you go from a small trainer straight onto an airliner. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, every small step was a big satisfaction, and I felt like I was building something. And I was looking forward to the next step as well. So it's been a long path, and it's been at times tough, and it's been at times very, very rewarding. Actually, most of the time, it's very rewarding. So if I look back, I look back at it with plenty of joy and the sense of having witnessed a full life.
Yeah, I mean, you have built up step by step an impressive career, which also, as we already covered it in the first minutes of the interview, led into instructing and being an examiner. Guido, what is the key difference between instructing and examining, to keep right on the topic here?
Well, instructing, when you are instructing, you have to do the best you can to provide support to the people you have in front of you, if they need support, and understand the best way you can who you are facing. And by understanding who you are, you have in front of you, you can deliver then a customized training. You can provide support in a customized manner, so you can maximize the service and the support that you are providing to these professionals. Mm-hmm. So your role is really to accompany and help these people improve as much as they can. As an examiner, of course, you have to also you represent the authority, you represent the company, so you have to judge whether or not this individual is delivering a standard which is safe enough and satisfy the regulatory requirements, and delivers a safe outcome and a safe product. So you can still do that and at the same time accompany, and actually in this EBT system that we are now utilizing, it's the examiner is also a support figure, because support meaning can help improve and train the pilots that he's examining or she's examining to improve their skills further. So to improve the standards. So again, you are examining, so you have to decide whether the standard is good enough or not. And if it's not, they will have to be retrained and brought up to a standard that satisfies the required safety standards.
Guido, allow me a question for all the pilots who are maybe listening now. And certainly without asking you for giving out any information that's maybe under some privacy standards. But what are the common weaknesses you observe even at advanced levels when you do your examinations?
Well, some of the weaknesses are one that you know, comes straight to my mind is not taking enough time. So when you encounter a unexpected situation, you should take enough time as appropriate, depending on what kind of situation you're facing. Obviously, some situations give you more time and others give you less time. However, you should take all the time that's available to assess the situation and ensure that you understand exactly what you are facing, and then gather as much information as you can with the time you are given to then deliver the best possible decision. There is no strictly right or strictly wrong decision, but there are the more time you will take in assessing and collecting data and information will translate into a better, more informed decision. So rush, basically, is one of the weaknesses I observe. Communication is another fairly weak area at times. Communication is extremely important, not just within the flight deck, but across the whole system. Mm-hmm. So by communication, I mean ensuring that when you are given a message, you understand exactly what the message is. And when you deliver a message, you ensure that the message has been received and clearly understood. Many misunderstandings, many problems that arise in the industry are caused by poor or lack of communication. So this is another thing. Communicate clearly with air traffic control, with your colleague, with the company structure, with whomever you communicate. Ensure that the message is clear, whether you have to receive it or whether you are delivering it. And that will allow you to avoid a lot of misunderstandings, extra work, and so on, so on and so forth.
Guido, brilliant answer, brilliant answer. And just allow me to stay a little bit in the realm of professional standards and mindset here. How would you define professionalism in today's cockpit environment in 2026? So, I mean, it's an open question. You can certainly, you could speak, I guess, for an hour about this question, but how would you summarize this?
Yes, it's a good question, Jürgen. How would I define professionalism? Well, look, there are many. The profession is nowadays, especially within airlines, within commercial organizations, is very, very structured. There are very normally very strict standards. There are very well written guidelines. So there is not much room for, let's call it, creativity anymore. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can feel like you're doing a routine work, if you know what I mean. However, and with routine could come, you know, boredom or such things, which leads to then lowering of the standard of professionalism. I think the way to be as professional as you can is to always try to deliver the best product that you can. So whether it's, you know, smoothness of flying, whether it's achieving the mission, completing the flight in the most obviously safe but economical manner so that you do the job properly for the company, you do the job properly for your passengers, your customers. So you always have to aim for the best possible product. Of course, safety always comes first, but then I don't know, even, for example, sometimes I ride in the back of some airplanes and the braking technique is, you know, not so comfortable, to say the least. And I think, well, you know, you could be a bit more careful and on how you brake or on how you use the brakes. You know, there is a way and a way to brake, and the passengers can feel it. When you're taxiing, you know, there are some abrupt taxiing, abrupt braking, or you can make it very smooth and deliver a better product. Again, these are small, you know, fine touches, but you can always find something to improve on.
So what I just heard is a pilot can always be a better pilot. There's always room for improvement.
There is always room for improvement, of course, yes. And always keep curiosity, curious. I mean, we always have to keep updated anyway, because the job requires it. But you can also look into additional publications. You can look at, you know, there's plenty of stuff out there, aviation psychology, or there's so many things that you can look at and which will make your job more interesting, more stimulating, and at the same time improve your background knowledge and I think make you a more wholesome professional. I mean, as you said, we can talk about this for hours, but there's so much to say.
As we did yesterday. No, we didn't talk for hours, but it was really, yeah, I know that you're really a specialist in this, also in the mindset. And yeah, I mean, you have to be, because you are an instructor and an examiner. I mean, it's so to say, I think especially the mental part, it's part of your profession. Maybe even more than just, quote unquote, being a pilot.
Yes, absolutely. Especially when you're when you start flying bigger airplanes with large crews and large passenger numbers in the back, and you become a captain. Then one of the most challenging yet fascinating parts is managing people.
Yeah,
and I find it really fascinating, very interesting, and you can really make a difference. Again, in how the mission is accomplished by managing people in an optimal manner. It's a very, really stunning what you can achieve with your team of people if you know how to read them, if you know who is good at what, and utilize the skills to work together towards a common goal and again, and a very good product. It makes a it can make a very big difference. Mm-hmm.
Guido, if you allow, some, so to say, guidance and also inspiration, hopefully, certainly, for aspiring pilots. First, a little bit of a critical question. What misconceptions do young pilots often have about this career nowadays?
Yes, that is a bit of a difficult question for me, Jürgen, because I am not so much in touch with the very young pilots nowadays.
Ah, okay.
Yes, because the candidates I see normally are already quite experienced. Mm-hmm. However, I do hear some things. I don't know, maybe the impression I have is that nowadays it's seen as quite an easy, comfortable career, which will take you quickly to a good career achievements, you know, and economical achievements. And which is true in part. However, it is still a very demanding career, mm-hmm. and it does require a lot of motivation and a lot of dedication, in my view. Because again, like we just talked about, it should be done as professionally as we can. It's not just it's quite a demanding job because you have to always do it. At your highest possible level, for obvious reasons, you know. First of all, safety, and there is a lot of responsibility in your hands. So, again, for obvious reasons, you have to take it very seriously. And if you undertake this career, it has to be because you are sure, 100%, that you want to do it and you want to go the whole way. Mm-hmm. So, because nowadays I know there are programs that take you very rapidly from zero to hero, basically. So I can be 20, 21 years old, and in I think within 2 years I can be a first officer on a 737, and then after another 4 or 5 years, I may be wrong on this, but I can be a captain on a 737. So at 26, 27 years old, I'm a captain on a narrow-body jet with 180 yeah. people in the back, yeah. which is great, but it doesn't mean that it's something to be taken lightly. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
It makes a lot of sense. So allow me here really a little bit an in-depth question. What separates a good pilot from a truly reliable one? So what is there? What's the difference? What do you see maybe also in younger pilots? Or what's there, you know, also back to your examiner role? What's the main key difference, what you see, between juniors and, so to say?
Yes, okay. So normally young pilots will be very motivated, very eager, and mm-hmm. very good at executing procedures. Mm-hmm. So they have a target because, let's talk about first officers and senior experienced captains.
Yeah.
So first officers, young first officers, will be very good at achieving, performing procedures. They will be very efficient. They study a lot. Their brains can retain information very efficiently. So they read. I remember my brain, when I used to read a paragraph once, I knew it almost by heart. And yeah. nowadays, it's not like that anymore. I think that is because of various reasons. It's also because you, I guess, as you age, you have more things normally to take care of during your normal day. So your brain is busy maybe managing more things. When you're young and yeah. building your career, most of your attention is normally dedicated to achieving proficiency in your job. Well, that was, at least was my case, and I think I've seen this as well in other people. So they are very good and very quick, and I was the same. I was very quick, very proficient, very knowledgeable, and I was very good at getting to the objective efficiently and quickly. And sometimes I would fly with very experienced captains, you know, who were maybe at my current age, and I would see them moving quite slowly, and I was thinking, well, why is this moving so slowly? I don't understand. You know, when something were come on, I was like, come on, you know, within my mind, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
I would always respect them because there was a, but I would be asking myself, wait, why is he moving so slowly? I don't get it, you know, just do it, you know. But then when I became a captain myself and I faced many different situations, I realized, I then understood why they move so slowly. Because as I mentioned to you at the beginning of this conversation, they were taking their time to understand the situation around them, to understand the whole picture. And they had a whole more knowledge, a whole lot more knowledge than me. And they were, you know, retrieving this knowledge to apply it to whatever situation we were facing, to work on the best possible solutions. And that was, I realized that only a few years later when I was in their shoes. So I would say, you know, be confident of your means, you know, be prepared, study, always apply yourself, be comfortable and be confident of your means. However, always be humble enough and keep enough humility to understand that there's always people who can teach you something. There are always things that you can learn from the others. So don't think that you're above the others. Just think that you are good. Do everything you can to be good, but always be ready to learn from the experiences and from other people around you. I would say that's a good attitude to take across your career, one's career, and to keep improving as you go.
So keep an open mindset or keep an open mind for a successful long-term career in aviation. This is so to say the takeaway I just got. Am I on the right path here?
Yes, absolutely. Keep an open mind. And also something else I would say is whenever there's a chance passing by, try to take it. Don't wait. If you let it go past, it may never come back. So don't let chances, opportunities fly by without grabbing them. You can always go back and say, you know, this is not for me. I'd like to go back to where I came from. But once an opportunity has gone past, it may never come back. But yeah, from a personal point of view, from an, let's say, personal attitude point of view, always work on yourself, be confident, but keep it, like you said, keep an open mind and accept that others may be better at you at some things and may have something to teach you, you know, and be ready to learn these things from other people.
Yeah, Guido, I think a main takeaway from this interview is really keep on learning, keep on improving, and be willing to learn, be willing to improve, and also to realize that, yeah, no pilot is a perfect pilot. There's always room for improvement.
Yes, absolutely, Jürgen.
Allow me one of the last questions. What continues to motivate you today? I am pretty sure you also have, you still have goals to achieve when you look into the future.
Yes, I do. I have goals to achieve. I recently made a career change because it was time to do so. Exactly because of that reason, for personal reasons as well, but I combined the personal level with the professional level. So I needed stimuli, I needed new challenges. So I switched from airline flying to private flying. And it is it has worked out great for me. It is really exactly what I needed. So I am keeping new up, making new objectives for myself. Again, trying to learn new things, jumping to other industries or branches of the same industry, let's say. And this is keeping me motivated on the job. And I'm learning. I've learned these last 4 years. I've learned a lot of things. I've tried at least a new discipline, basically a new type of operation, and it has been very rewarding and very interesting for me. At the same time, I'm trying to optimize the balance, work-life balance. I very much treasure my loved ones that are at home, and so I try to make the best use of my work-life balance to spend time with the people that matter to me when I'm not working in the best possible time. So this is another objective for the future, to keep maintaining and improving, if possible, the work-life balance as, let's say, I approach retirement.
Yeah, Guido, all I have to say, it was a fantastic interview. Thank you for every second. And yeah, as we discussed it yesterday, I support pilots and also aviation candidates with the mental side of performance. And I want to give you send you as a little bit of thank you for your time, for the conversation, a small voucher afterwards. Don't know, maybe you will need it in the future. It's certainly optional, no cost, no obligation, but for a one-to-one coaching session with me, whenever I'm useful for you, would be great to speak to you again. And if you need me, as I said, maybe for physical routines, the recovery or the mental side, I'll be there for you, or the voucher is there for you.
Thank you, Jürgen. That's very, very kind of you, and I will definitely make use of it.
Thank you, Guido. It was a great interview. I wish you it's also a nice weather day in your place, a beautiful rest of the afternoon, and thank you for joining Aviation Quest TC.
Thank you, Jürgen. It was a pleasure, and you too, have a great day. Enjoy your evening, and hopefully we'll talk soon again.
Okay, and that is the end of the interview. So how was it for you, Jürgen? Was it good?
This April the 9th was, with an interview like this, Guido made my day. No, it was really, Guido Mazzara, thank you once again for this incredible, thoughtful and experience-driven conversation. It was a real pleasure and an honor, as I already pointed it out in the intro. And Stefan, also for you, I think this was really... Yeah, it was, I'd say, a really adult, mature, and certainly super experienced aviation conversation. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Also from my side, of course, a big thank you to Guido for taking the time to talk to us and to spend time to give us his knowledge and experience. And yeah, like you said, and like I said before the interview started, I think it's a good insight into what is expected from an airline pilot these days, and how you are evaluated and how your role should be fulfilled in terms of how you can be more professional, how you can be more proficient, etc., all that stuff. So I think it was really good, really interesting.
Yeah, overall, I think the episode really provided a super realistic and also valuable perspective on aviation as a profession, built on responsibility, continuous development, and also the personal accountability. I think really Guido's insights here were invaluable, hopefully also for a lot of newcomers in the world of aviation, or people who maybe think about getting into the first, certainly into the right seat of an airliner.
Yeah, absolutely. So right from the get-go, if you get into the industry, like from before you even start your job, at the job interview, they will be looking for exactly the qualities you've just mentioned and that were discussed in the interview. If they can see that you bring those qualities with you and those attitudes, then your chances of getting that job are much higher. So the more you understand about what is expected of airline pilots today, the better you're going to be prepared for a career and, of course, for that fateful job interview.
Yeah, step by step. I mean, I think it's really, it is a career that demands a lot of effort and also a lot of support. Yeah, I mean, if I can be of support for you, the coaching button is on the homepage. just click on it, and the first conversation with me is always completely free and without obligation. But yeah, enough about me. I think, Stefan, we are looking forward for more guests, especially more guests like Guido. This could really be, yeah, I mean, this was also the dream of our podcast concept from the speaking of the get-go, from the beginning on, when we started our conversation. I think it was a lot, yeah, I don't know, it was long, more than a year ago, but it built up that we want to really have to have live on tape conversations, long form, and also with really, yeah, with experienced people like Guido.
Yeah, so in that sense, I think we can say we achieved our goals so far, right? Because we have a long list of guests that we either have interviewed or are about to interview. So I think we did a good job so far, if I may say so myself, right?
Yeah, I mean, even though certainly everybody is welcome, but especially I think guests like Guido today, they really, I mean, I think they are rare. There are rare interviews on the internet, and I love to be part of a project that gives, yeah, really the possibility to offer long-form podcasts like this. But yeah, it's already getting a little bit hot in the studio here, Stefan. Temperature is rising, and like, subscribe, follow us is things YouTubers normally say. I'm not a YouTuber, so I leave this out of the podcast, but I will. I think I will have you for a couple of minutes because we already have to set up some new appointments. Yes, we have some great upcoming interviews already in the calendar. There will be super experienced aviators, but also newcomers. And yeah, I think our podcast is really worth to follow. And if you want to leave us a comment, as I said in the beginning, LinkedIn is a good place, but also the comment section of the YouTube channel of the podcast. It's once again Aviation Quest Podcast. This is how you can find us on YouTube. And certainly there is also the Discord server. Thank you, I mean, from my side, Stefan, from your time. And I'd say thank you one more time. Thank you, Guido. And thank you, dear listeners, very much for joining us here on Aviation Quest to see stories from above. And it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, also from my side, thank you to everyone who is listening to the podcast, to all the people that are supporting us, people that drop by on the Discord server. So yeah, big thank you to everyone. And yeah, we look forward to seeing you in the next one. Until then, all the best. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Aviation Quest CC, Stories from Above. For more information about this episode and everything we do, visit our homepage aviation-quest.cc. We appreciate your time and support, and we'd love to have you back for the next episode. Until then, stay safe, stay curious, and keep your passion for aviation flying high.